Hi, Pastor Tony Alamo here. We've been reading through the Bible, and the Lord has directed me to have some of the literature that He's given me down through the years read on radio so that people can have it on tape or CD and play it while they're in their vehicles, or people that can't read, they haven't got good eyesight, or it's wearisome for them to read, or they might even be blind, and or too old to read well. Here's some tapes for you now. You can hear my the literature that the Lord has given me, and you can play it and replay it over and over again. We're going to be doing part one of mass suicide. This piece of literature the Lord gave me. We did just a couple of lines of it the other night, but I decided to have it read from the beginning again, and we'll go right through that. We have a couple of letters here. How many letters? Two?
Three.
All right. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. I ask Him to anoint this special service. Holy Father God, anoint this message with Your Holy Spirit. Anoint with the outward anointing, the anointing for the ministry. Let every word that said be from You, from the throne in heaven. Lord, that the church may be edified and strengthened and lifted up on higher ground, and that those the pitiful souls in the world that haven't heard the correct truth all their lives will hear it this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever they're listening, that You'll hear it by way of radio. We're on radio all over the world, as You know, Father, and that You'll receive salvation, that You become regenerated, become spiritual, die out to this old life, and have eternal life. Lord, we ask that You make everyone's mind clear and their spiritual eyes see and their spiritual mind understand all that You give me and have given me before in this message, mass suicide. Lord, that they'll understand it perfectly and be able to see the things that are going on around them in the world today, that these things were predicted in Your word centuries ago. Father, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from, please?
From Bar Akiva, Israel.
Okay, from Israel. Okay, let's go ahead and read it.
Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I'm continuously thanking God for giving me the opportunity to thank You and Your ministry for Your concern about me. I am glad and very thankful to You that I received Your letter and money You sent me for treatments. Now I have at home all these natural products containing antioxidants. Also, I would like to tell You that I am thanking the Lord for giving me a chance to be heard. My letter even was read on Your radio broadcast. As You know, for a long time I was writing to some places and looking for financial aid, but didn't get any positive response. You are the only one in the whole world who heard me. It is a real miracle happening to me. Unfortunately, wherever I applied, all the doors were so closed as the ears of those who were sitting behind those doors. I am sorry to tell you about those certain truths. Dear Pastor, thanks to your literature, my spiritual life has completely changed. I hear your voice and feel your presence everywhere as if you are talking with me. My belief is stronger and stronger.
You know, when we're led by the Spirit, when we allow the Lord to minister into us and through us, that people can feel the Spirit of the Lord around.
Amen.
When you're speaking, or when the Lord is speaking, really. The Bible even tells us that when we go to courtrooms, we're not even supposed to think of anything that we're going to say, because if you're really led by the Spirit and you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places all the time, the Lord will speak right through you. He'll fill your mouth with the words that you're supposed to say. So people will bring the most incredible accusations against you, and they'll ask you, is this true? And you really, I just say, I don't know what to say, Lord, just say it. And it'll come right out, and people will just think it's hilarious, or they'll just, the people may have been against you completely in the courtroom, and the things that come out of you, they'll know that you're definitely of the Lord. And something like that has happened to me all the time when I'm ministering to people. You can see the antagonistic, they've heard something about you, and then they feel the Spirit, and you say something that comes out of it, and it's the very thing that they, it just shatters the wall that is around them, and breaks it down and gets right into them, and they're able to know that you're of the Lord. That it's God Himself talking through you, because nobody could give the kind of answers that God gives. Amen?
Amen.
It's just tailor-made for the occasion. All right, then what else?
I feel that I have a chance to devote the rest of my life distributing your literature, not only here in Israel, but also in Russia. That's why I send them every newsletter I get written by Tony Lama with great pleasure. My dear and God-given pastor, today in the world of terror and injustice, it's very difficult to find a place where there are not any disasters. Why people speaking different languages, rich and poor, healthy and unhealthy, don't understand that all of them cry and laugh the same. I'm praying and wishing the whole world to be saved. Dear Pastor, I would like you to know that I am so thankful to the Lord God for giving me the opportunity to write you you letters, to get your letters. Also, I'm thankful that in such critical period of my life, I was heard. Moreover, I found myself. I feel better thanks to your concern about me. And at last, you are my best teacher. You taught me to understand the word of Almighty God through your literature. Thanks to your ministries and their good work done today, I feel myself healthy as a newborn person who wants to be with you for the rest of my life. Dear Pastor, I can't stop continuously thanking the God for your concern about people. About 11 months, I'm writing letters and get letters. Today, people are communicating by email. I'm sorry to tell you that I don't have a computer, and that's why my letter is the only way to be close to you. I check up my letterbox. I can't explain to you my feelings of thanks and joy when I get your newsletters. Sometimes I cry with joy. You really gave me the joy of life. Thank you very much. I will end here saying, may the Lord richly bless your name and your ministries. Sincerely yours in Christ, Galia from Or Akiva, Israel.
Yeah, this was a woman, a Jewish woman in Israel that has cancer. Wasn't that her?
Yes.
Right, and she needed to have the right things to eat, and she didn't have any money. And the Lord, you know, really blesses you when you minister to a Jewish person, because whether people like it or not, they're God's chosen people. And when we minister to Jewish people and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Lord, that's a commandment, you know. And Jews are the most generous people in the world. If Jews, if you go to, they're the big money spenders in the world. Somebody told me, well, are they tight like Jews? I said, Jewish people are not tight. And they're the ones I know. They're the big spenders in the world. If they have a holiday, the whole stock market shuts down, because they're the ones that buy the stocks, and they sell stocks. And they, if you go into a Jewish restaurant, like a delicatessen, you're hungry, you go in there, and you'll see. And you just tell them, I'm hungry, do you have anything? They'll sit you down and feed you. That's generosity. That's generosity that's unparalleled. I've noticed that you go into another kind of a restaurant and you ask for a turkey sandwich, and you get maybe a few little slices. You have to almost sometimes get a magnifying glass to see it. going to one of those Jewish delis, and they stack that turkey up at about 3, 3.5, 4 inches high. You'd have to have a mouth like Dagwood to just choke it into you. You'd choke a horse, some of those sandwiches, and a pastrami or anything like that. I mean, they just give you so much to eat that you couldn't possibly eat it all. They'll never turn you... Everyone that I've ever known would never, ever turn anyone away that's hungry. And they're generous. They're very generous. And they spend money. They spend money. If they didn't, there wouldn't be any commerce in the country at all, really, that much. So, yeah, they're not the ones trying to rule the world. I don't... No, the Bible doesn't even come close to that. God said he loves Jerusalem, he loves Israel, and where it's coming from, the ones that want to rule the world, it's coming from Rome. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'll go with God. Some people just literally hate the people of the Lord. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, you know, when people are being persecuted, it'll be people that are nearest to you, people that are in your inner circle. They're the ones that you get more. I've had more problems from people in my inner circle, people that were closest to me, than I've ever had from people out in the world. We had people in this church, and they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then, just like Judas, they allowed Satan to enter into them, and they will testify falsely against you in courtrooms. There's a whole line of them. There must have been about 7 or 8 of them out of the thousands of souls that Sue and I won to the Lord, and the other people in the church as well. There was about 7 or 8 of them that lined up against me and testified falsely against me and caused me to, for the gospel's sake, to go to prison. Whenever God blesses somebody and keeps blessing you and raising you up higher, the devils become more vicious, more wicked. And it's always according to Scripture. Read that Scripture, that these devils, your enemies, will be those of your own household. And that's, tell them where it's at, Micah, chapter what?
Chapter 7, verse 6.
Okay, you want to read it?
For the son curses his father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter...
Well, like Susie had a daughter that just absolutely has told so many lies about her. She even told the Senate subcommittee meeting that Sue did not have cancer. And, of course, Sue died of cancer in April 8th, 1982. And they just tell all kinds of lies. You'll see them on the Internet. I mean, you don't even know where they got this. And we have them on television saying just great and swelling words when they were saved. But the Bible says that in the last days there'd be a great falling away from the church. And that would be the sign that the Lord is coming back to earth again. Now, the Lord had an enemy in one of the people that were closest to him, and that was Judas. Because what they do is they go to the secular people. They don't really have... the secular people don't have a leg to stand on because they know that people love you. They know that... the people know that they're telling the truth, but they depend on the people nearest you to make up stories about you, and they say, well, we've got the law here where we can, if this is what they're doing, we're just going to go ahead and prosecute them. And my God, the tales they told, there's a list. They even stated that we had a tunnel up on the ridge and that we're holding prisoners there and that we're a slave labor camp, and here all we're doing is preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, before I was saved, people loved me, and I was really not a very nice person. But nobody would have dared said anything about me back then because I was the type of a person that would retaliate. If you bite, I bite back. All right? if you try to hurt me, I most definitely, I would have hurt you. And I know how to do that. And I had a lot of friends that would gladly do that for me, and I had enough money to pay them to do it. And so, but when I got saved, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I had all these supernatural experiences with the Lord, and I began, and I got saved, and I began serving the Lord and telling people the things that the Lord showed me, every hell, every demon in hell broke loose on Sue and myself, and it was, the Lord even showed me a vision of it. He showed me a mountain. It was like a silhouette of a mountain, very steep. And he showed me going full speed, walking up that mountain. And then all of a sudden, Sue was not in the picture. Then all of a sudden, the picture widened out, and here Sue was just walking very slow up that mountain. And I came down from the mountain, the silhouette of me, and I grabbed her by the waist and by the arm and started pushing her up the mountain to go with me. And as soon as I did, it was a beautiful day. Everything turned dark, and here this fierce wind was coming down from the mountain, blowing and almost causing me, as strong as I was back in those days, I was only 30 years old, to fall down on one of my knees, but I just kept pushing up the mountain. And these, it was like a black clouds and everything coming down the mountain. And then the vision went away, but it showed every so often the cloud you'd see, and then you'd see us again. But the cloud, these black clouds would just blot out our the images of us. And that was the Lord showing me that it's going to be an up, not up, uphill climb, an up mountain climb. And I wrote a piece of literature in that regard. The Lord told me, tell of the different visions that I gave you. And so I wrote a piece of literature called Difficulty Mountain. And that piece of literature tells all about it. And then I've written one called God's Two Witnesses and Susie's Wedding Dress and very, very supernatural things. And my testimonial tracks. And I saw it, and I saw the Lord appear right in front of me with my eyes wide open. And I know He exists. And then the Lord has shown me heaven and hell. And showed me the torment of the people there, for people that hate His word, people that hate God's word. I hate you. I hate you because you hate God. God is my friend, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have no respect for a person that has wants to live their own life. Now, I just saw a person on television preaching that you can be yourself and still serve the Lord. The Lord says, no, you can't. He says that you must die out to yourself and just take on the Spirit of the Lord and just do what the Lord says. Now, that's really hard stuff for people that are self-willed and just want to be themselves. Of course, we're ourselves. But we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That means that I'm not my old self. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm walking in the Spirit. And I have a heavenly spirit inside of me, a divine spirit. One that, which is the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father by the Spirit is in me. And I love to let Him use me. And I know that the more He uses me and the more He blesses me, that there's people that are around every person that really has given themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord that will become your enemies, the closest people to you. There will not be a day that goes by because there a lot of them are weaklings. And the more God blesses you for giving yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord, the more the devil gets into these weak people, and they just say, we just can't understand. We can't understand why you're doing this. And you could be, the Lord's just leading, telling you to do everything you're doing. And we just can't understand it. And it's always the weakest people in the church. So weak, and they just can't get their act together, because the more you serve him, the more he blesses you, and the more Satan is enraged inside of them. So read that again.
For the Son.
Now that's Micah what?
Micah 7:6.
Okay, the chapter 7, verse 6.
Yes.
Okay.
For the son curses his father, the daughter rises up against her
mother.
Read
the verse before.
Verse 5. Trust not in your friends. Put no confidence in your neighbors. Guard the words of your mouth from your wife. For the son curses his father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the members of his own household.
Yeah, look at Job, where his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's what they want you to do. They want you to be like, the members of your household. They want you to be like Job's wife. Like Job, you know. They want to be like Job's wife, where they tell you just die. Curse God and die. But the more you say, absolutely not, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, the more the devil rises up in these people, and you will never get the persecution outside of the church that you get from the members. The Lord's word is true of your own household. Those are the ones. Be careful what you say to your wife, because she might very well want to have you slain. As a matter of fact, I've had different people in the church, women, come and tell me, is it all right for them to pray that their husbands will die so that they can get themselves another husband? And I told them, you'll be in a lot of trouble with the Lord if you do that. You're supposed to love your husband, cherish your husband, amen? The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. They figure that they're always going to find somebody better. Somebody that will just be devoted to them. You want to know something? These kind of people will never find happiness in their entire life. If they're not happy in Jesus, in the Spirit of the Lord, they're never going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Okay, so that's it now. Now then, let's finish off with this letter here.
The next letter?
Yes, the next letter.
From Accra, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, thanks be unto the Most High God for such a great opportunity to write and communicate to you. I have read a lot of the Lamo literature and never decided to heed to the word. Thank God that his fire has ignited my spirit and that I have started a fellowship of about 80 people in number. This fast growth came about by the help of God through your literature that I distributed. As a result, many of the new converts would want to know more about how they can grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to this, we all would like you to send us 40 Bibles for our Bible study and the Dry Bones literature. We hope that these Bibles, if sent, will be used well among us all.
Dry Bones is one of my testimony tracks. It tells of how I got saved. And because we're all like dry bones until the Spirit of the Lord puts us together and makes us alive in Christ. Because all those that are not in Christ are dead in their sins, in their transgressions. They're lost. And also many people, after they accept the Lord or in the churches, you'll find that there's a lot of scavengers in churches. If Jesus had 1 out of 12, can you imagine how many we had in this church when we've had hundreds of thousands and all over the world? Can you just imagine? You know for sure that we got at least 5 or 10.
Amen.
Amen. at least that. And that's why you hear such strange and weird tales. People chained up, and my God, they've created this place. They said that we have weapons. If we've never had weapons. It's just amazing what they've said. We don't even have squirt guns or toy guns in our church. We won't even let children buy toy soldiers because we don't believe in that. We believe that God, if everyone got down before the face of the Lord and called out to Him, that He would take care of all of our enemies. And even though we are surrounded with enemies of our own household, I have the Lord, you know, and that's perfect peace and a sound mind. It's like the Lord is just allowing me to get strengthened. And there's the scripture in the Bible about that, because they will persecute you. And I'd like you to read Exodus, the first chapter, and through verse 12. Verse 12 says, the more they persecuted the children of Israel, the more God blessed them and they multiplied. They just kept increasing more and more. So when they're doing that, they're actually blessing you, but you've got to remember to hold yourself together. You people that just get saved, you'll find out many times that it's the people in your own household will try to destroy your soul. They'll tell you, no, you can't go to this church or that church or whatever. And we don't want you reading the Bible or praying or anything like that. I mean, I've seen all that down through the years. Go ahead and read it now, real fast, like.
Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation.
You're not mentioning verses. Keep going.
Verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Verse 9. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
See, like, now that we're winning more souls, we're all over the world now on radio, and we're going on television on two national and international channels. Now the devil is really enraged. And so I know that the heat is going to crank up, because I know the nature of Satan. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people are afraid to serve the Lord because they don't want to take the flack from the devil. But I know that God will put His hand down, and I've seen God destroy people that will not discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, because they can see that I'm moving forward in the world to win souls for the Lord, and that the Lord is opening the doors for me. And so they really need to get down. If they can't, they need to fast and pray and get a hold of the Lord, because Satan's going to hit the weak ones in my inner circle. And he's going to come against, he's going to rise up against me as never before. Because I remember that difficulty mountain, this fire coming, this horrible black wind coming down and clouds and everything. It was this is when I first got saved. I didn't even know what it meant at the time, but now I knew it was difficulties ahead. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
Verse 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens.
Persecutors. Well, what happened to all these persecutors in Egypt? Didn't they get killed?
Yes.
And didn't they get destroyed? And didn't the whole army get annihilated?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't persecute the people of God and expect to live and spend eternity in heaven. Amen. You persecute the people of the Lord and display an attitude in front of them instead of allowing the Lord to display himself in you, and you're going to wind up in hell in the lake of fire. That's just the way it is in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And you can see it in many instances in the Word. Okay, and then what else?
And they
Verse
11. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted
them, the people of the Lord, then what?
The more they multiplied and grew.
The more they multiplied and grew. And that's what's happening to us. The more they persecuted us, the more they persecuted myself and some of the people in this church. We've got a lot of good people in this church, I'll tell you that. The more they've seen, and I've seen, God bless us and make us grow big, bigger, grander, and now the whole world. I used to tell people, if on the pulpit in Saugus, where we had to move because of the persecution in the city, and I says, first Saugus, then the world. Amen?
Amen.
And here it is. They laughed until tears were in their eyes. It was a bunch of hippies. And I says, you laugh now, but you'll see. You'll see, and here we are all over the world. My literature is in many languages, and I'm looking for people to work in this, to help us out in this ministry, okay? If you can't help monetarily, join us up here, and, you know, the Lord blesses us all, and even the ones that are persecuting me in here, but because he's letting them live. And these messages, maybe they'll catch on to them, and maybe they'll repent and start being a blessing rather than a curse. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then let's go.
And they were grieved because of the children of Israel.
See, the whole world of unsaved people and the people that are possessed with the devils are grieved because the people of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It really grieves them to the point to where they just want to make... They are miserable inside. You serving the Lord makes them miserable inside, and it makes them want to come back at you with the miserableness that's in them. They just want to, they have so much hatred in them that they want to just enrage their, to just push their hatred back on you or anybody that you're dealing with. They try to destroy soul, and they do destroy souls. Okay, so let's continue on with the letters.
Finishing that letter from Akragana says, thank you and may God supply you all abundantly. God richly bless you all in the ministry. Amen. Signed, Samson from Akragana, Africa.
Okay, if you think the enemies of your own household are not your enemies, if the people of your household are not your enemies, look at Samson. Amen.
Amen.
Here that woman used to cradle his head in her lap. Amen.
Amen.
And run her greasy little fingers through his hair. Amen.
Amen.
And all of a sudden she took up the profession of a barber. Amen.
Amen.
So was she his nice wifey or was it his enemy?
His enemy.
It was like he had nestled his head to sleep in her little lappy. Just while she was caressing him and he was snoring. And then when he woke up, he'd had a hairdo. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, then, so don't trust your inner circle. Beware, because what the Lord says in his word is true. Amen?
Amen.
Just go with the Lord. Go with his word. And don't just read it, but do what it says and believe what it says.
Amen.
Okay, ask Samson. It reminded me of that man's name, Samson, here. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
The next letter is from Bricky, Arkansas. Tony Alamo Ministry, I praise God for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit, which guides us into the truth of His Word. My name is John. I'm presently incarcerated in prison here in Brickey, Arkansas. Today I was searching channels on my radio and came across your broadcast just as you were praying your opening prayer. I was immediately captured by what I heard in your prayer, then hearing the letters and your teachings, and I knew then that this is what I needed to hear. I'm requesting any books you can send me to help me to know the truth, and also your newsletters, so that I may be informed on world events. I pray I can catch you on the radio every time you are on. Keep getting the Word of God out to people everywhere. God bless each of you. John from Brickey, Arkansas.
All right. Praise the Lord. And now let's get into mass suicide, part one.
Any time now, a world quake and a series of prophesied catastrophes will shockingly awaken the entire global population to a horrible, God-sent, unparalleled nightmare.
Right. Now, the Bible does say that there's going to be not just an earthquake, the whole world is going to be moved off of its axis. So you can depend on what the Lord says. He says it's going to start out with the tsunamis, with all the diseases, with people that are so possessed with the devil that they'll be killing, murdering people, that it's going to be bloodshed on earth, and that there's going to be so many diseases and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and just a whole list of them. You have to read the Bible. And then go ahead.
Shortly after this event, two more disasters in the form of two large meteorites will follow, causing more destruction than many hydrogen bombs. One will smash into the ocean, destroying a third of it, including the life therein. It will actually turn the water to blood and, of course, destroy all life and every ship within its realm. Shortly thereafter, the other meteorite will barrel into and flatten a great part of an entire continent, polluting a third of the rivers and fountains, making them poisonous wormwood. Many men will die of these waters. Shortly thereafter, an estimated 2 billion people, one-third of the Earth's population, will be killed by fire, smoke, and lava-like brimstone.
And now they're even saying that the bird flu will kill one-third of the people in the world. All right, then what?
Once these plagues begin, life will never again be lived as we know it today. Just before this incredible, several-month-long, unspeakable nightmare, most people will be on their boring, everyday treadmill of work, school, and house cleaning. Some will be going to their social or political activities, looking for new forms of entertainment, buying, selling, planning, etc. Some will be planning or pursuing their routine, daily or nightly promiscuities, or making their usual plans to foolishly spend their paychecks on Friday and Saturday. Doctors and nurses will still think that the worst plague sent from God are today's incurable diseases, viruses, and bacteria occurring in epidemic proportions around the world. Abortionists will be aborting their daily quota of innocent babies as usual. Drug dealers will be peddling their death. Schools, the media, publishers, and the motion picture and television industries will be both corrupting and lying to the children and the rest of the world. Judges and prosecutors will be busy in the routine mischief of corrupting justice. Young men and women, knowing nothing of truth or reality, will be planning vain careers and college educations, or planning their lives in a variety of other empty and unrewarding ways. Then, to the woe and dismay of everyone in the world, Jesus, who is commonly and falsely today known as, quote, sweet Jesus, unquote, will abruptly, suddenly, without notice, in a moment, turn the world upside down and literally tear it to pieces. Again, one-third of this world's population will be annihilated, and then millions upon millions more will be killed in the most dreadful ways, ways that could never be imagined or dreamed of in the human mind. Brace yourselves. The people of the world need to immediately ready their minds for these coming catastrophes, which will surely come to pass within this very generation.
Yeah, the false prophets say that you're going to be raptured out of that. False. That's false. That will not happen. The Lord says, if you are of the Lord, that He's going to come for His people, immediately after these tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
That's the 24th chapter of Matthew. Then what?
The world will soon know for certain, without one shadow of a doubt, that all these terrible, horrifying, shocking plagues are from God. They will realize that the Bible is literal, because the exact order that the plagues will come in is the exact order the Bible foretold they would come in, to destroy the earth and kill all of the belligerent, unrepentant sinners.
Yes, these particular scriptures are literal. There are many scriptures also that are symbolic, so I'm not saying that everything is 100% literal, but these scriptures talking about the plagues are absolutely literal. And a lot of times the Bible gives metaphoric predictions and things like that, and so they're symbolic then. But so the Bible is both literal and symbolic, because some people cannot see the literalness of the scriptures unless they are also taught the symbolic or metaphoric meanings of the actual literal meaning of the Bible. It's all literal, but it's still said in symbolic terms, some of it. But this is easy to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
These facts have been written and are still on record. They have been recorded and preserved very meticulously in explicit detail to this day in the infallible Word of God. Prophecies of the sequence of the events to transpire before these destructive judgmental plagues from God destroy the world have already occurred in the exact chronological order foretold in the Bible.
Right. Now, it's not Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. And they're not natural disasters. The Lord tells of these that He will send curses on the earth for people's rejection of His Word and for them ignoring the mercy of God. They will not receive salvation or regeneration. And they also are worshiping other gods and in false religions. Then what?
In view of the fact that the prophecies leading to God's wrathful judgments have all been fulfilled, people who don't believe the forthcoming prophecies of those judgmental plagues from God and don't believe that the Bible is literal are as suicidal as the people of Noah's age were, who did not believe the prophet's message of the catastrophic annihilation of everyone in the world.
You'll ask, well, why do you say we're suicidal? It's because the Word of God is sure. It's absolutely 100% sure. You reject God, and it's for sure you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And it never ends. It's for eternity, forever and ever. And when you don't do what the Lord says, and He gives you the power to do it when you accept Him into your heart, you are more than capable of keeping His commandments. So do that, and otherwise you're committing mass suicide. You're with the masses. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Noah's prophecy was fulfilled and is on record. Everyone died and went to hell, with the exception of the prophet Noah and the seven members of his immediate family. It was mass suicide. All of the world conditions are in the exact position that the Bible stated that they would be in when these events would take place.
Right at the end of time. Then what?
These catastrophes can and will start happening any minute now.
I wrote this piece of literature quite a while ago. Well, you can see that they are happening.
Amen.
Now, okay? They're happening. There's so many catastrophes all over the world now, you can't even keep up with them. And now people are bracing. They're bracing for earthquakes. They said, they're all saying on television now, they say, well, how do we brace for the next catastrophe? Well, they say we've got ourselves a little knapsack with a flashlight in it and a whistle in case a whole building falls in on us, and to let people know that we're still alive, we'll just give a little whistle. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, make sure you pack your whistle up. But, you know, when God poured out His wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah and burned everything up. It wouldn't have mattered if there was a whistling where everybody would be screaming so loud that no one would be able to hear the whistle.
Amen.
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 Even if it were the orange blossom special coming through the city. All right? All right, then what?
Doctors and pharmaceutical agencies, because of the many incurable bacteria and viruses, agree with God and me, quote, "There's nothing man can do. We're in the hands of Almighty God," unquote.
This general that they put in charge of the catastrophe in New Orleans, I saw him on television just saying, you know, there are just some things that we humans cannot control. This is God's wrath, you know. It is the wrath of God. When God flooded the whole world, it wouldn't have mattered if they all had whistles. They all drowned, you know, with their little whistle clutched in their little tiny fists. Okay, then what?
I warn you with the utmost gravity, quote, prepare to meet thy God, unquote. The misleading, false doctrines of the one world religious and political coalition known on earth as the New World Order's church government and known in heaven as the beast, the whore, the false prophet, the serpent, the dragon, and the devil will soon be over. Everyone in the world must now know that salvation cannot be attained by membership in any false religious or political order, but only through the blood of God's sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, the author and finisher of our faith, the head of the Church of God, the beginning of all creation, the one who loved us and washed us in his own blood. He is the living spoken word of God. Quote, all things were created by him and for him, unquote. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of all things and the end of all things. Total obedience on a continuous daily basis must be given exclusively to this one and only Savior, for he is the only resurrection and our only life. Without him, we can do nothing. God once killed almost everyone in the entire world because of their depraved lusts for sin and because they wouldn't repent of it. It caused Noah and his immediate family so much trauma from the shock to see such a mass suicide that God had to give the prophet and his family some rock-solid, godly, verbal assurance that he wouldn't drown everyone in the world again. It had never rained on earth till God's plague of the flood. Everything was watered from a mist that came up from the earth. Throughout all history, the world has never experienced a world quake of such huge magnitude, nor any of the other terrifying, soon-to-arrive plagues from God.
That are already arising, okay? This is the beginning of sorrows. Okay, then what else?
When the whole world is moved out of its orb, other unseen, unheard-of events will occur. Everyone on earth and at sea will experience simultaneously never-before-heard loud voices from heaven, unheard-of deafening peals of thunder on every continent and at sea, and the never-before-seen bolts and flashes of lightning, making the world quake more gruesome and eerie than human minds can comprehend. The impact, the chilling fearfulness of all this will be felt deep down to the very core of everyone's innermost being. Every sinner and every saint will know and feel that this source of horrible anger being unleashed upon earth is from the very throne of the living God, the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus Christ himself. Even the deaf, the blind, along with everyone else, will know and feel this is coming from God. The prophet Isaiah foretells of the same event when he, God, quote, "ariseth to shake terribly the earth," unquote. Quote, "The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage," unquote. When this world quake and the other judgmental plagues are happening to the last, when this world quake and the other judgmental plagues are happening, the last thing the people of the world will want to do is hold some false plastic religious ceremonial rite, run for their plastic or metal rosary beads or a statue, light candles, ring bells, or take the time to put on religious gowns, choir robes, or little hats and other nonsensical, futile things, which some religious people do, thinking they are pleasing God, when in reality this nonsense will only enrage and infuriate God all the more, because he doesn't like this sort of things. As a matter of fact, he hates them because they are foolish and blasphemous. They don't acknowledge God's precious Son, Christ Jesus, who died for them, any more than Cain's bloodless, lambless sacrifices did.
Right. They don't pay any attention to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they don't have any strength because the Spirit of God is not in them. They don't invite Christ in with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
Other things the unenlightened, ungodly people of the world should not do are try to get in touch with their local false prophet, preacher, or teacher who told them to do these foolish, infuriating things in the first place. Remember, these are the very ones that lied to them in the first place by telling them that God the Father, the Son, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit would never do such things as wreck the world, kill all the unrepentant sinners in it, then send their souls to hell, as you then clearly will be able to see that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are doing. It won't do any good to attempt calling the church government agencies that have exalted themselves above God, that people trusted in and sold their souls for. All the phone lines will be non-functional in your home or business, as well as every government building and police agency. And what could government workers or police agencies do against God's wrath anyway?
Right, they'll be ducking them they'll be running themselves. You know, and you don't try to use the phones because all the phone wires will be cut. And who would you call anyway? Your mother? And then what?
They will be in the same panic-stricken boat as yourself. The Red Cross workers will themselves be frantically running for cover. Those who have committed their lives to Satan and his New World Order church-state will know that there is no escape for them. The rocks and the mountains will not be sufficient cover to hide themselves, quote, from the face of him that sitteth on the throne in heaven and from the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus, unquote. It is then that the world will come to the stark realization that those who preach the truth of these coming events of God's judgments were not dangerous cult leaders and haters at all, but instead were sent in love and mercy from God to warn the world of the truth of God's requirements of salvation and of escape of these judgmental plagues from God. They were mercifully sent to tell people how their souls might be spared from an eternity of an even more severe judgment than the one they are currently experiencing. At the time of these, God's judgments, the world will realize also that he who is sitting on the throne in heaven, his Son Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one, the true God, and that their personalities today are the same as they always have been and always will be. This terrible wrath is coming directly from them as God promised it would. He is a God of his word. Because people have refused to believe God's holy word, instead choosing to believe Satan and his false prophet's words, they are committing mass suicide. God, for our benefit, in his kind mercy, recorded in his word what his true nature and personality is. God wants everybody in the world to know that he's not ashamed or angry at himself, but instead is very angry at Satan, his angels, and all those of the world who have followed Satan and refused to repent of their sins. God is angry and vengeful against all these who have rejected his mercy. God wants everybody in the world to know that he doesn't appreciate, but rather hates the false prophets, preachers, and teachers. They have profaned his word by making him look like he were some sort of wishy-washy, soft-on-Satan-and-sin type of God, or like some sort of effeminate, limp-wristed, double-minded God. He utterly despises this incredibly false image of him given to the world by the coalition of world religions which stand today united as one on the iron clay feet and toes of the one-world Roman church-state government. God told Daniel the prophet this would be the fourth and last blasphemous Satan-led kingdom of the world. Jesus told John this is Mystery Babylon the Great, the lawless one, the wild beast, the great prostitute, the false prophet, the devil. It is written, quote, all his, God's ways are judgment, unquote. Now that God's judgmental plagues have begun, i.e. bacteria, viruses, thousands of new strains of cancer, etc., The world is beginning to see that God, who foretold of his judgments, is not a kidder, even in the smallest sense of the word. God has shown the world before, and is showing them again, that he means what he says. God will give no comforting words with these last plagues, as he did with Noah. He will not tell us that things will get better, or that there will be time for us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth again, because the world is, once and for all, irrevocably finished. Let's review some of the plagues God states will rapidly follow the above-mentioned devastations. Just as the world in Noah's time had never before seen rain, so also in this age no one will have ever seen such plagues as those that will surely and most rapidly follow the above-mentioned plagues from God. The entire world will experience hailstones of around 100 pounds each in weight. Men in their satanic, mass suicidal nature will revile God with impious and reproachful speech injurious to the divine majesty of deity because of this plague of hail, for this plague will be very great. All of men's blasphemies and other retaliations to the pain God is inflicting on these miserable wretches then is futile. They only amuse God while they are raging. The Lord sits in the heaven laughing at them. The one consolation about these plagues that God is sending very soon to this world is that not everyone will die and go to hell at the same time as they did in Noah's day. This time, the time of the end, God is furious more than ever with sinners for not repenting and following his holy standards after their many years of hearing the Bible message from ministers who told them clearly that God is a severe judge and rewarder against unrepentant sinners. Today's reprobate knows what God did to the world when it was young, having heard of earlier plagues such as the flood, the destruction of Pharaoh's Egypt and Egypt's firstborn, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction of Jericho, and many others. God will now cause the wicked men of this present world to be tortured, and prolong their torture for some time, because they, rather than follow Christ, have been belligerently and defiantly following Satan, who caused God the Son to have to come to this world and die for us, making an escape for us from these plagues, and the worst plague of all, hell.
Yeah, and then people will be seeking death, but they won't be able to get a doctor to help them commit suicide, or they won't be able to commit suicide themselves, because God is going to torture them for several months without them being able to find death. Well, I see that our time is up, and you will not want to miss the remainder of mass suicide. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And hey, get right with the Lord right away. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit, Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me a more than a conqueror in you. And, Lord, I will read your word and I will keep your word. I know that you won't turn me away because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Just praise and thank the Lord, and God bless you. I'll see you, or you'll hear of me tomorrow if you tune in. Praise God. Amen.